The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show here on channelradio.co.uk/2 in association with bizradio.co.uk on this Tuesday, the 11th of December, with me, Paul Andrews, and my co-host, the lovely...
Sarah Ann Lucas.
Sarah Ann Lucas.
I know, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Cool. We just before the break, we were hearing from Natasha Sutton there about the journey that she's on in trying to make headway. See what I did there?
Headway. Yeah. Got it. Lovely.
with her Paralyzed by Success brand. So do support her on that. Do find her on Twitter. Do join in. We've had loads of tweets. We've had a tweet from Tracy Ferguson.
She's listening live.
Yeah. And she said, old, cranky, and more than a little stubborn. A curmudgeon.
What?
A curmudgeon is the gruff, grey-haired neighbour who refuses to hand out candy at Halloween and who shoos away holiday carolers with a bar humbug. You nailed it, Tracy. That's me.
Do you think that's you?
No.
I think that you like that to be you.
I aspire to that.
It's worse than that.
And Oregon Training have said, how about curmudgeon? I think they were making an attempt at spelling it.
Or a joke.
Could be, because I don't know what a curmudgeon is.
No way. You know everything about that.
Well, I haven't heard this before. Curmudgeon. C-O-M-U-R-D-R-E-N. Curmudgeon.
Words are great, aren't they?
Yeah.
Do you guys know Michael Cochrane?
Yep.
Yes.
Is he a curmudgeon?
He's just texted me saying, great to listen to you on the radio, but I did wonder when you were actually going to get a word in edgeways.
Well, he wasn't listening then.
Well, he missed out on your interview then.
I think we never said a word. I know. I don't understand that. So can we maybe put that as one of the words?
Absolutely. Tracy's also said, what a lovely interview with the Startup Business of the Year, which is DC Breathe. She was talking about, it was lovely, Donna and Claire, with their wellness business. So we've still got loads of tweets. We've got some emails to read, and we've got another guest to talk to. So I'll tell you what, Bert, you want to...
Tech Expo UK, a full-day expedition. Expedition?
Expedition, we're going
expedition.
Somewhere.
Expedition, I'd like to. Exhibition for business owners wanting to connect with suppliers who can help them run, build and grow their business with the power of technology. Thursday, the 26th of September. I can't believe I'm actually saying this. Thursday, the 26th of September 2019, Kent Event Centre, and that's techexpouk.com. Like it, they're getting in there quick.
Absolutely. Well, it's a new event, so basically you have to start getting people prepared for it and thinking about it well in advance. Because
you're right, you know.
You know, because otherwise they don't know about it, and leaving it to the last minute is not much use.
No.
I've had a tweet from some people that I do know, and I'm so pleased for them, even though it's still a struggle. It's an organisation called Tremble, yeah, and their Twitter handle is Trem, T-R-E-M underscore B-E-L. And they say, we really appreciate a shout-out on the Business Bunker Show today, please. We're very excited as we've just revealed our latest video, which tells you all about Tremble and have a great show. And they've attached a copy of the video. Now, I happen to know the people behind Tremble, and they've invented a device which, when they showed it to me, they showed me a... A prototype of it, which they'd manufactured themselves in their living room. And when they first showed it to me, I thought, there must be hundreds of those on the market already. It's such a simple idea. It's a complex piece of equipment. Simple idea, there must be. So I went and looked, and there isn't anything on the market. And what it is, it's a wristwatch type thing that's attached to your doorbell. And it's for deaf people and for old people.
Are they doing their R&D on it? Because I'd love to talk to them.
You need to talk to them.
You give me the details.
I certainly will.
And we will talk to them as well.
It's a device that when you ring the doorbell, it activates the watch so that the wearer knows that there's someone at the door. And then you can push buttons that give the person at the door warning that you're slow to come to the door, or you're, you know, so you can tell them that you're in. Yeah, really simple thing, but massively useful. And I know this from personal experience, you know, with my old dad, you know, people would ring the doorbell and he wouldn't hear and they'd go away again and then he'd moan like mad that nothing ever got delivered. So a really clever thing, a simple piece of technology by today's standards. I know that they've worked really hard to try and get funding to get it off the ground, yeah? They've made prototypes and they can demonstrate a working prototype quite easily. Now they need to go into mass production, okay? They actually won an innovation award for it at a big national event, yeah? Electronics industry event. So the product is really solid. It's really there. And I'm really pleased that they're going places with it. So many congratulations. Do give them a follow on the Twitter.
No, you
what did I just say there?
On
the Twitter.
I love that.
Twitter. Start hashtag.
It's Trembel. T-R-E-M _B-E-L on the Twitter. Thank you. Can't even blame the drink.
It's the stuff I used.
Mm.
I don't even want to help you.
No, I know you don't. You just want to take the mickey.
Watch.
Yeah. Go on.
So we've got the Business Bunker Radio Show is pleased to partner with My Careers Option, helping parents help their children explore the right careers options for them. All the details are here, so it's
www.mycareeroptions.co.uk.
You can get 50% discount if you put in this, BBunker50. Go do it, because it's so interesting for me as a parent who's got children who are so desperate. They've got these skills, but it's really, you know, you can choose a degree course, you can choose this, and then realise, oh my God, this isn't really what I want to do. And you don't know until you start to actually put the wheels in motion. So go and check it out with them. It's so important to support.
I met with him. He's brilliant.
Yeah.
He's really good at what he does.
You could get me ranting again, but I won't. I'm going to try and avoid it. But
we've got another rant coming, so I don't know if we can cope with it.
I don't want to do triple rants in one show. I do want to tell you about something that's happening on the 23rd of January, though. And that's a reverse employment fair. And it's happening at the Kent and Victor Chamber offices at the Ashford Business Point in Sevington, here in Ashford. It's a completely free event, and it's a reverse employment fair, job fair, yeah?
Explain.
Well, let me explain. And it's being run by the education people in association with Kent Supported Employment. And basically, there are 20 job seekers there with various disabilities and learning disabilities, and the job seekers will have a stand each.
Wow.
And employers go round and visit the stands.
I love that.
So it's totally the other way around to how it normally is. And employers go along and they can meet these 20 prospective employees and hear from them, hear what they can do, see what they can do and understand what their skills and talents are.
Would they have their CV on their table? Would they have everything?
It depends what they do, you know. So if one of them is a chef, for instance, they may have a cake they've made. Or if one of them is a web designer, they may have a website that they've designed.
And how do people get into this?
But it's free to attend. If you want to go along, if you send an email to thomas.lovell, L-O-V-E-L-L, at theeducationpeople.org, and just tell them you're coming.
What, as the employee?
As an employer.
Right, so if you're the employee,
right,
how do you get involved?
Well, they've already got 20 employees.
Oh, got it, okay.
Yeah, but I would imagine the best thing to do is to get in touch with them, because if this is a success, they're going to run more. And if you've got someone that would like to take part as a potential employee, I think they'd like to know.
It'd be interesting to see, for example, I use Jack as a great example, how he would approach this in that scenario, being reversed into it. I don't know how he would...
Yeah.
How his coping mechanism would be there, if that makes sense.
And I would assume that's how they've picked the 20 people that they've got there, by ensuring that they're 20 people that can cope with this, that want to do it, that know what they're doing.
Them as well,
and they've coached them into, you know, so they're the right 20 people to find work in this particular way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's really interesting.
Absolutely. Yeah. What else you got then, bud?
Oh, well, I've got Hello Business Bunker team. I wanted to let you know that we have a very exciting offer available to you now. Gillingham FC versus Portsmouth. This is Boxing Day, 26th of December. There's nothing like Boxing Day football.
Mm-hmm.
Do you like that, Letty?
No.
You've just curled your lip at me. I really like...
Do people still play there?
I used to love going to Plymouth Argyle, Green Army, with a pasty on Boxing Day.
A what?
A pasty.
A pasty.
A pasty.
Sorry, let's talk Kent. Pasty.
Oh, a pasty.
Pasty, yeah.
Pasty. If you're Hertfordshire.
It's pasty, isn't it?
Pasty.
Anyway... Boxing Day Football 2018 and Gillingham FC versus Doncaster Rovers on the 29th of December. Watch, wine and dine, £75 plus VAT. 1893 Lounge, £83 plus VAT. Executive box from £750 plus VAT. Call now to avoid disappointment. And it's 01634 350 350. And that's Sophie Boynes.
Cool. I had a tweet from Oregon Training, and I say a very big hello from Oregon Training on this glorious Tuesday, and they're in Sittingbourne. And they're going, oh, Business Bunker's going to have a new website. We're looking forward to that. So thank you. Do give Oregon a follow. Good. What should we do now? We could do another tweet, another email, or we could talk to our guest.
Yes.
Yes, yes.
Let's talk to our guest.
Oh, okay.
Because I think she'll lead us into stuff.
Yeah, she normally does. She normally leads us astray. Yeah.
It is. You and I get together and it gets really silly.
I can't think of myself as a guest. I don't feel like
Think you're a guest. And I mean that with the greatest of respect.
Yeah, I don't feel like a guest.
You know?
Yeah. How many times have you been on the show now?
Once a month for years.
well, Nettie comes on once a month, every month, and normally brings someone with her that's
except
interesting.
Christmas.
Except Christmas.
They never bring you a guest.
Well, she never brings us a guest at Christmas because we decided it's time to talk to Nettie.
And we like to talk to each other occasionally, Paul.
We do, yeah.
And last year,
she interviewed me.
I did interview Paul last year, which was quite funny. Were you hear that?
No, but do you remember we spoke about it and you said, Bird, can you come in? And I was like, it's not my show because it was Martin, wasn't it?
I think it might have been, yeah.
So you said you were going to interview Paul, which would have been interesting.
Did, and it was quite funny.
Well, anyway, we've got you in here.
I'm trying to remember what that question was that I asked you that we got the giggles
over. I thought you'd say you weren't going to mention that ever again.
One of the questions was, what are you going to do when you grow up?
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you know what? It's really interesting you say that because Michelle Obama's got a new book out called Becoming, and she talks about growing up. She said this phrase is really wrong in every shape and form, meaning that we always find an end, therefore that when we've grown up, that's what we are.
Yeah.
Actually, whereas she's always evolving and becoming, which I really like.
And don't we all, anyway? We're none of
One
us
would hope so.
We were 5 years ago, 10 years ago, whatever. Life changes and we change with it.
It's a good starting point because for me, this concept underpins absolutely everything. There is nothing that falls outside of the concept of evolution. And what I mean by that is that life is an unfolding tapestry of stuff which you have to react to.
Yeah.
It's not pre-programmed, it's not pre-designed, there is no right or wrong answer, but it is not static.
Absolutely. And don't you think quite often too much is governed by an opinion? So someone will say, you can't do this because of this, or you can't do this because of that. And that's what stops people. You know, there's nothing worse than someone telling someone what they should or shouldn't do, because that person should know in their own mind, as long as morally and whatever, it's the correct thing to do. Surely you should do what your gut tells you is right.
There's absolutely. And there is no correct solution to anything. You just make stuff work.
You do. Because you can't unwind. No.
You know, as things unfold, you branch.
Yeah.
So I'll give you a really stupid example. Yeah. Loads of people don't like nuclear power, okay, for whatever reason. But you can't uninvent nuclear power because somebody invented it and now it exists. So you can't go back to a time before it existed. No matter how you feel about it, I used to work in the nuclear industry, by the way. You can't go back to a time before it existed because it does exist now. So the only answer to it is to move forward, not to try. But so many people try to move you backwards.
Yeah,
they try to take you back to a time before something happened.
Yeah.
It's like people moaning all the time about people being on their mobile phones or tablets. You can't undo that.
No.
You've got to move it forward. You can't move it backwards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can put certain things in to stop it happening all the time. I used to have a thing when my children were younger that if you brought your mobile phone to the dinner table, that was fine. But any texts or messages you got, you had to read out to the whole table. I tell you what, those mobiles didn't rock up for long. And we could actually sit down and have a meal, be it only half an hour, but we could have a conversation. And now, you know, they're older. When we sit down and have dinner together, they wouldn't bring their mobiles.
Because they text you.
Yeah,
it's dinner ready yet, Mum?
But no, there are things you can do to, you know, stop it a bit. But at the same time, we're just used to being plugged in, aren't we? That is who we are. To a point.
But that for me, everything is a process of movement, and you can't stop it. And there is no correct direction of movement. You just have to go with it and try. You know, you said, I think, Nettie, you have to go with your gut feeling on it. You have to go with what suits you and what you feel.
Yeah.
But the one thing you can't do is stop or go backwards. Yeah. You they're the two things that you can't do.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. It won't make any difference because you can't do it. So don't bother wasting your time trying.
Nettie, I've got a question for you. We've been with you all year. Loved it. It's great. We've done some great masterminds, by the way, haven't we? Don't you think? Out of all the guests that you've brought into us, can we just go through a few of them?
Yeah, let's go through. I don't want to talk about all of them. Not for any reason. No, I don't.
There are some relevant ones that we went through.
Should we go through the year?
Yeah, let's do it.
Because I've got our
we've got 12 guests there.
We have.
So let's
talk about a few of them, should we?
Okay.
We started the year with my boss, with Brad, with his radio debut for a guy who runs something.
Absolutely. Has he recovered?
No, he would barely.
Why did you bring him on?
For a number of reasons. Don't stop. For a number of reasons, but one was that I think it's good to get people in senior roles to come into radio.
Yep.
The year before, I brought Phil from Clearbooks.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
It's a massive organisation, and he came and joined us. And Brad was talking about the real basics of it, you know, the importance of running a business and, you know, the importance of looking after, you know, best part of 200 staff. But also just the simple things like getting your tax return done on time. You know, all those people are fined £100 for being late. You times that by the number that are late. There's your money going straight in HMRC's pot every year. And none of that needs to be there. You know, so we were talking very much about organising your finances and so on. So that's one guest I would pull out. Another guest I would pull out, who actually I didn't bring with me. I think it was my colleague Chris, but I knew that you'd love talking to her. And you've spoken to her since, is Justine Cullen.
Yeah. She was fabulous.
She was.
You know, with her whole red carpet bit, her jewellery design, and not we're talking basic jewellery design, we're talking R&D jewellery design, putting things together in a different way. You know, that jewellery, you've met her a number of times. She's a very interesting.
Really interesting. She's full of absolute vision.
Yeah.
I would say she's a visionary. And she actually draws people in, and she's got big pieces of jewellery that you think, how are you going to sell that for 10 grand? Yeah. Most people wouldn't make a piece that would have that. I'm telling you, she's absolutely somebody to watch, admire, and just see how she as a woman, as a businesswoman, as a mum, as a wife, absolutely. And there's no balance to it.
No.
Don't be under any illusion. There's no balance to this. So she's flying everywhere.
But it also brings back that bit, doesn't it, that you have to have your market when you're in business. So whether or not you're stacking it high and selling it cheap, you're going down the middle of the road, you're going top end, there's room for everybody.
Yeah.
So she's set out on a business path that's gone straight top end.
Absolutely.
And actually, that's fine. You don't have to sell it cheap to get yourself on the map.
Absolutely.
You can go big in one go.
But she's also doing little garden parties. She's also doing little things in her home that make no money. Literally. So make just this continual contacts. Yeah.
Some years ago, many years ago now, Chris Anderson, who was the editor of Wired magazine, pioneered the concept of the long tail. And he wrote a book called The Long Tail, which was the start of the Amazon online buying revolution and a fundamental change in the way we buy things. His book is really famous, a massive bestseller. A lot of people, though, didn't pay as much attention to his second book. And his second book is entitled Free is a Business Model. And that has been more true, I think, than the long tail. Yeah. If you look around you now at the amount of things that all of us in this room do for free and other people do for free, you have to do free stuff now in business. You just do.
Yeah.
And you don't even need to have to agree with it.
No.
It doesn't matter whether you agree with it or not, whether you think it works or not. It's a must.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. So it's very interesting. So Justine was a great guest. We had, because we do every year, we had the lovely Amy from AM Marketing.
Yeah, award-winning Amy.
Award-winning Amy.
Amy's awesome.
And she grows, her business grows. Her and Brad have just celebrated 5 years in business this year. And, you know, there's a little part of me that's really proud of her. I've known her from when she was self-employed. So, you know, she's doing a brilliant job. We have the lovely Catherine Rowan from Tandem
Media. Oh, Tandem Media, yeah, remember that.
No, she was good as well. And that's about print and magazines and how,
and
you
that,
know,
that was a
marketplace.
Really, yeah. But that was a really, really interesting interview because everybody agrees that physical print market's dead as a doornail.
Yeah.
And it isn't certain areas. Yeah. And she was proving that in terms of what she's doing. So she wasn't just hanging on to an old market, though. She was innovating and moving forward, using a slightly older medium but in a different way, and that was the clever thing about what Tandem Media were doing.
And it worked, and I think it's a great story to put out there because obviously we do still have printers. There's some great companies around, and some are just printing business cards and brochures, and others like her are publishing regular magazines, and it's really good to see someone like that growing. And we had Drew back from Lemon Creative
for the
second time. I love Drew and I love his story and I love the fact that he plays down the fact that he's a, you know, a normal lad off a, as he likes to say, a London council estate or whatever he describes himself, but such a creative guy.
And what a difference. What a difference from his radio show with us this year to the last time he was in. Like a different human being.
He's now regularly presenting at expos. And his story and the brands he works with are absolutely brilliant. And, you know, again, that was great fun. We had Sonia on up the road from EcoSand, didn't we? Which was fun. You know, if you're listening, Sonia, we love you loads, but you're still bonkers, my love. So Bonkers is good. But again, a great business, a great passion for business. And for what's right. And then last month we went international, didn't we?
We did.
We went international with Massimo from Amici. And, you know, his
Wasn't he brilliant?
He was. And he kept apologising for his English, which was better than our Italian by a mile.
Possibly.
But go on, the best question. Ciao, Bella. The best question, wasn't it, was it you that said to him, so why did you end up in Ashford?
It was genius. Yeah.
Go on then, Bev. What was the answer?
I'd like to hear this.
His car ran out of petrol. You see, and I said, because you were saying to me so you were saying to me, actually, he had one of the greatest uptakes from it.
Yeah.
Two things. His story we could all connect with.
Yeah.
That was it. And secondly, he worked at it. He worked at the promotion post radio appearance, where I feel, and with my radio show for sure, unless people, it isn't just turning up and doing it and going, that was a great experience. Okay, it's the marketing behind, okay, I've got this content that I've created. How can I elevate this? How can I show people what I'm doing?
So his was, again, I think was an interesting story and a normal business story to
normal
extent.
And the thing, see, this show isn't just thrown together, it's produced within an inch of its life, because that neatly brings us back to where we started about a process of evolution and how things unfold. Because Massimo's story, which was true. He got off a ferry and his car ran out of petrol round about Ashford. And he's stayed here ever since. And he's opened two businesses here. That is what happens in real life. Everybody else then goes, no, I had a plan. No, I didn't. 5-year
plan.
I've got a 5-year business plan. I'm going to run out of petrol in some obscure place in the southeast of England and start a business there. It's obvious, isn't it?
Absolutely. And I think this is it. There's nothing wrong with a plan, but let's be honest and real. You know, most of them are on shelves gathering dust.
Plans.
They're guidelines.
This drives me nuts. It drives me absolute nuts, and nobody ever agrees with me fully on this, and I get that. I don't like goals. I don't like plans. I don't like any of those things because they're not real. Yeah. By all means, have a little bit of a route map of where you think you might want to go, but please don't get hung up on it because you're never going to get there. Yeah. Something's going to come along and move you slightly
off track. There is never a finish line.
No, there's not.
It's not a race.
It's not a race.
It's not like when I do a marathon and I know at mile 26.2, I'm going to get about. There is none of that nonsense.
No, absolutely. No.
It's never ending. That's why evolution. But I'm even getting my loaded finger out.
Yeah, she is,
But the other bit of that is, you're absolutely right, both of you, there's nothing wrong with what you've said, but I also get very frustrated with no plan, mm-hmm. particularly when a business isn't doing very well, mm. you know, and you sit there and you wait for everybody else to
explain,
sort it out.
Explain, Nettie, what do you mean?
Well, okay, you've just say that your sales are fairly static, you've tried lots of different things, but only you know you've tried them. You've not really talked to anybody. Or when you do talk to somebody, instead of taking advice or talking around it, you sort of go in with the attitude that you know the answer before you've started. You know, why bother asking? And I get this point where it's great to have a plan. It's great to think, okay, by this time next year, I want to employ two more people because I want to be doing this, this, and this. But if there's no plan behind that, like how you're going to market it, how what that's going to cost you to produce, have you got a big enough office to accommodate it? What are you going to do with it? It's not going to happen. And you can't blame the wider world for it. It's got to be planned to a point.
I think, for me, there's two or three things there which normally go wrong for people. Mm-hmm. The starting point is when you're already in business and you've had a bit of success in business is that you don't actually notice that it's not working anymore.
Yep.
Yeah, and that's because you don't keep an eye on your numbers,
yep.
or you see the numbers and go, no, it'll be all right. It'll recover next month, yep. and you start making excuses.
I had a good year last year. Why wouldn't I have one this year?
Yeah. You start making excuses. Well, it's December, you know. Well, yeah. I mean, it's like I had an argument with someone. I don't know. It was about Brexit, as it happened. I just tweeted out the fact that we had a record growth period. In third quarter 2017. Mm-hmm. And they went, yeah. Well, that was because it was a hot summer and the World Cup was on. And I went, there were more teams in the World Cup than just us. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think you'll find that France won the World Cup, but their growth went down. Mm. So you're just making it up, really, basically. Mm. Yeah, you're trying to retrofit something to arrive at a situation that you want to arrive at. And too many people do that with their businesses. They don't look at the numbers, or if they do, they go, it'll be all right. And it won't. And at that point is where you have to start making plans for what you're going to do.
I've got a question here then. So here's the thing. Let's look at Pixar, for example.
Who?
Pixar.
Yeah.
Before they were bought up by Disney.
Yeah.
When we've got Steve Jobs, who was sacked from his own company and then went and invested at least $4 million every year into a J business model.
Yeah.
That would be fair to say.
Yeah.
I'm sure that he was looking at his numbers and he had his financial advisors advising him to stop. I'm sure of that.
Yeah, yeah.
If he had stopped, we wouldn't have what we've got today. That would be fair to say. So where does this visionary, where does this absolute I'm going all in then decide if I don't go all in, then this won't happen? Or if they'd stopped and looked at the numbers, that would never have happened.
I get that, and you're absolutely right.
But
you've got to be careful here. Yeah? You've got to be careful, because for every one of those that works, how many hundreds didn't?
Yeah. But how do you know if you're not going to be
there?
You've just got to go all
that's
in.
That's the enjoyment.
Yeah.
That's the enjoyment and the risk of being an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
There are, as an angel investor, during my time as an angel investor over the last 30 years, I've invested in about 12 businesses. 11 of them failed.
Yeah.
The one that succeeded so far made enough that covered all my losses.
Mm.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I'm not ahead of the game, but I haven't lost anything, although each year I did lose money and I went, ouch. But that is the game. That's the game you're in as an investor, is it's high risk gambling. It's no different to putting money on a horse or doing the football pools or whatever. It is different to being in a lottery, because a lottery, you just put your money in and poke it. Yeah. People like to believe with horse racing and things like that, that they're studying form, And with business investment, you're studying form, but, you know, it goes wrong.
But all of those people believed in their product.
Absolutely.
All of those ones that did that. And it's back to that, what you're selling, it's great if you love it, but people have got to also love it to buy it. It's the same thing all the time. But how many investors have come to you, you don't have to give me a number, but I can pretty much guess it's going to be a lot, that actually don't want investment. They want someone to pay for their lifestyle.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. Nearly all of them, yeah.
They want a car, they want the suit, they want the
They want
image,
you to pay their wages.
They want them, you to pay their wages. And I'm sorry, they're not business people and they're not entrepreneurs, because those are the people that throw it into the ring and see what happens.
Yeah, exactly. No, I absolutely.
Risk, that's too much of a risk to take.
Letty, how do you cope? How do you deal? How do you support, guide visionaries who come in with exactly those things we're just talking about now? Entrepreneurs, true entrepreneurs, who, I don't know if you can even use the word true entrepreneur anymore. I think it's all sexy and nonsense all at the same time. How do you support them in your role?
I think it's a strange one, because I find, quite honestly, a lot of the people who, I'm just thinking of the clients that I work with directly that I would work with on their businesses, and I'm not going to name any of them, but the ones that I have the most success with are the people who've probably been in business for a little while and have got to a stage where they are successful, but they're stuck.
Mm.
And actually what they want is someone, I haven't got all the answers, but they often work on their own, or it'll be a husband and wife, or it'll be, you know, three of them in a partnership that are good at what they do, really good at what they do, but they've never run a business. No one's ever just sat down. And often I find myself as nothing more than a sounding board.
Mm.
And we start almost mapping this stuff out. And it can just be on my pad to start with. It's like scribbles. This is what we're looking to. This is what the expansion is. How are we going to pay for it? What are we going to do here? How do we staff it? What do we do with it? It's not complicated. It's, to be honest, a lot of it's common sense, but you've got the world out there, and I've seen it when I'm out networking. You know, you've either got someone trying to sell you a five-year plan or somebody asking you about your exit strategy.
Mm.
And to be perfectly honest, a lot of these people haven't even built anything to exit, and a five-year plan would just be a waste of their time, because if they are in that sort of mode, they don't care about a five-year plan. They're more thinking about how we're going to pay this year's wages, how we're going to recruit, how we're going to find the right people. So I don't know that I cope. I think I help others to cope. Mm. Does that make sense?
Absolutely it does, and it's really important as well. One of the problems is you get stuck in a rut. You can only see what you can see, yeah?
Yeah.
And, you know, for anybody, this is an issue. Is you get stuck looking at what you're looking at, and you can't see outside of that in terms of what's going wrong or what's going right or what potential there is there, because you're an expert in what you do.
Yeah.
But you're only an expert in what you know.
Exactly.
You're not an expert in what you don't know.
And one of the real key things, and I had this, and it was a client I worked with a few years ago, and he's since retired, but he retired very well from his business, sold it on, did an amazing job. And I remember him saying to me, when I set up in business, I wanted to turn over £1 million.
Mm.
And I've done that. But I don't know how to get to 1.5 million.
Mm.
I don't even know if I want to.
Mm.
I don't know whether or not I've built something now that is big enough that I own the building, all the rest of it. Do I sell it or do I grow it? And I remember sitting there talking to him, and he was talking about his staff and how good they are.
Mm.
And I said, well, this is where your decision comes, because you've got now good, ambitious staff.
Mm.
If you stop growing your business, those staff won't stay because they are ambitious people.
Mm.
So there's your risk right there. How do you hold on to these people? Because if you stop, they'll go. They won't stop growing because you want to. They'll go.
Mm.
And that's happened to me in the past in an organisation I worked for. The guy didn't want to grow anymore. I'm not interested.
So it's an interesting phenomenon, that, because more than ever now, there are lots of people that actually don't want to grow.
Mm.
Yeah. Once upon a time, that was the model.
Yeah.
Yeah. You started a business, you got bigger, you grew your turnover, you made more profit, you you added more people, you grew and grew and grew. One of the issues in a service-based economy is that a lot of the businesses that exist now are based on the expertise of the founder or owner.
Mm.
Yeah. And they get to a point where they go, I don't want to do anything else. I want to do this. And if I grow anymore, I'm going to have to stop doing this and start to manage. And they don't want to do that.
No.
There are ways around it.
Yeah.
And one of the ways around it is to, instead of getting an entity bigger, you, by going upwards, you grow outwards.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you add different things.
Yeah.
Yeah. A diversity to your portfolio. is one way of doing it. But there are people that are just going, I don't want to grow. I want to be where I am, and that's it. The danger with that is that you get caught cold.
Yeah.
Yeah, because nothing in life is static.
No.
Everything changes.
Yeah. Everything changes.
Everything changes.
And a lot of people go, I'm comfortable. Mm. I'm going to stay where I am now because I'm comfortable. That's probably a really dodgy thing to do.
It's a massive risk.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's all about surrounding yourself with the right people. So if you're a one-man band doing that, that's your choice.
Yeah.
But as soon as you start employing people and good people and you've got a career ladder alongside you, you've got to be able to help those people grow as well. And
absolutely.
If that's not there, your business isn't there. And it's that safety bit has gone because it'll start to drop.
It's really refreshing to hear this because when you're doing something alone from whatever adversity or not, if you are a business owner and striving to make the best of your business, having a sounding board is a huge part of relieving your well-being and your sort of your levels. Like, am I? The questions that it's take action and find the right type of support. So I'm quiet, guys, because I'm so like, I need my popcorn and a
You'll like this tweet. I've just had a tweet from Sally Laker, Sally for Cakes, and she says, "Hi, Business Bunker. Please can I have a shout out to wake me up as I'm doing my accounts?"
Oh, no. They should be fun. Yeah, that's a brilliant thing to do. Great fun. I'm being sarcastic. I think all business is different, and I think the other thing we've got to be careful not to do is tar everyone with the same brush. Everybody runs it differently, does their own thing differently.
Absolutely.
And that's what makes us all different, and that's why it works.
I just want to, because we're here going this. Give me some strategies. Let's give people some strategies on, okay, I'm a visionary, I've got this, da da da. How can we help people? Well, rather than saying, don't do this, do this, this is what we do. Let's give some practicalities.
Well, it's difficult to be totally specific unless you know what it is they're trying to do.
Okay.
You know, just talking about products, for instance, you could apply this to services too, I guess, but products more so. Somebody invents a product, okay? I had somebody come to me a few years ago that invented a pet feeding bowl that didn't move when the cat or dog stuck its head in it. Yeah?
Okay.
This guy had sunk every penny he had into developing a prototype, okay? He then came to me and said, I'm desperate. I need money to take this to market. And I said, okay, but where's the return on this? And he went, it's totally unique. And while he was talking to me, I was Googling it and found at least 10 products on the market. Yeah. When he started the journey, there was nothing out there. He'd never gone back and looked. He'd already missed the boat.
So had he missed his due diligence?
It's right down to a basic SWOT analysis. You quite often do your SWOT analysis at the beginning, but you don't go back and do it again.
Yeah.
So at the beginning, these were your opportunities, these are your threats or your competitors. Oh, look, I haven't got any.
Yeah.
But if you don't go back and look at that every regularly...
Yeah, exactly. And as Bert said, it's down to some due diligence, some research.
I feel this is a leading question.
Yeah, well, but there's so many things that wind me up that people take at face value.
Should we rant?
Yeah, well,
I gave you the due diligence. Talked about this earlier, so I thought they're going to be like, how did she do that?
Right. That was really clever, Bert. I was really impressed.
Thanks.
But, you know, so many people tell you things, and I'm one of those people that always checks.
Yeah.
When I meet someone for the first time in business and they tell me something, I go and check. Mm. And you wouldn't believe how many times it doesn't match up to what they're saying. Mm. And the thing is any level... Nowadays, research is a doddle.
Yeah.
Back 20 years ago, you didn't have Google and things like that. You used to have to go to the library and look through books and things to research this kind of stuff. You don't have to do that now. So it is totally lazy to not do it. Mm. And... it's a big strike against you if you haven't researched your market, okay? Having said that, there are certain products that don't exist, yeah? So, and it's interesting when people talk about a gap in the market because the reality is it doesn't actually work like that because that's working things retrospectively. People go, that didn't exist. I invented a product. I made it exist. But the reality is no one, and I absolutely guarantee this, 20 years ago, no one went, do you know what we really, really need? We need a micro-blogging site where I can go on and have a rant in 120 characters. That's what we need. I think I'll invent one. Yeah?
Do you honestly believe that? See, I think there was a queue.
Yeah.
Well, Facebook wasn't the first one doing it all. YouTube came on completely secondary to the main. So there's none of these people were leading the marketplace.
And that's the reality of most product development is you invent a product or service accidentally. Yeah. It gets used for something that you didn't intend it. Facebook, for instance, was a yearbook for Harvard. Yeah. It ends up being used unintentionally for something else. Friends Reunited, which was one of the very first social media sites, the intention, Steve Pankhurst, I happen to know, who did the first site, the intention behind that was to reunite old school friends. It became a dating site eventually.
As they all do.
Seriously?
You know, LinkedIn has even been accused of having a dating element to it.
Yeah.
It always comes back down to that.
It does, yeah.
Are you still doing that show, by the way? There was a dating show that you launched.
Me? I don't do it. No, Linda Cloak does the show on a Monday night. Yeah,
I'll have to go and make my way over there. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
Just
we digress.
Due diligence.
But back to due diligence. You know that I have an issue with, you know, I'm not going to say anything.
Tell us your issues, Nettie.
Okay, I'll tell you one that you and I have discussed in the past.
How exciting.
And I'm still not going to tell you who it is.
No, good. But, that's fine.
I had a client, this is a year or two ago now, and I did blog about it at the time, who asked about, I've told this story before, but asked about where to go networking.
Mm.
And I gave her a few suggestions. She worked in the city, she set up her own business down here, and she just wanted to know how to get to know some people. Very easy to do. You know, we have loads of good networking around here. So I suggested a few places to her, and she went off to a networking event. And she listened to, it was a lady speaker, and she listened to this woman speak. And she thought, she's a really good girl. I enjoyed this. So this woman had waxed lyrical about whatever it was she did and her business and all the rest of it. Anyway, this lady was a bit more savvy. So she came away and did what you and I might do, Paul. She went and looked at this lady's website, which was under construction. She then went to company's house to find that she'd filed dormant accounts for the last 2 years. So what she now felt was that she was lied to. So actually what she now felt like had happened was she'd paid for lunch to listen to somebody who probably didn't say anything wrong except for implying that they were far more successful than they really
actually
were.
Yeah, absolutely.
And she rang me up and told me, and I actually went back to the person who I know reasonably well, who'd actually organised the lunch, and said, I would be very careful who you book as speakers, because going forward, that lady is now going to tell numerous people, because I can't stop her, and I wouldn't stop
absolutely.
Her, that's her right, that wasn't actually right. So you can imagine, this woman's gone to a lunch, she's picked up a number of business cards at that same lunch. Who did she get talking to? It will spread, and it actually does a lot of harm. And I think it's that whole thing. If you're going to work with somebody, if you're going to listen to somebody, whatever you're going to do, just make sure that what they're telling you is right. You know, and also, if that lady gave such a good talk, why didn't she just say, I'm new to this, or I used to do this years ago in the city, and I'm now setting up my own, or whatever her story was.
Yeah.
Why doesn't she say so? Why pretend?
Because the wisdom was still there.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it was very practical and very worthwhile listening to.
I agree.
But you can't believe it to be true, therefore we don't hear it again.
Yeah. So it's back to the due diligence. So because that lady did it, now, you know, this other person who spoke could be very, very good at what they do, but she would never go to her for anything because the trust has gone.
It's the authenticity, isn't it?
It's funny, isn't it? As someone that tells stories for a living, most of them...
Do you sex them up a little bit?
Only a tad.
That's okay.
No. But there's a line between entertainment and telling stories that are sexed up or, you know, made to be entertaining.
Absolutely.
And telling straightforward untruths, like I run a multi-million pound business.
Yeah,
no. No, you don't, because I've just checked and you don't. And you never have.
Yeah.
That's a different issue. Yeah. And I think people do it to give themselves credibility when they don't need to do that.
Absolutely.
If you've got something interesting to say, you've got something interesting to say.
Yeah.
And I know people that do run successful businesses that haven't got a clue how they managed it. You know, it just happened.
Yeah.
And whilst they're incredibly good at it, they couldn't advise you how to do it.
No.
And I know people that aren't quite as successful as that, but have a really good insight into how you do things. Mm. So, yeah, but for me, research and due diligence is everything. And it drives me nuts when people don't research the market, they don't look at things. But I also am very much aware that you also create your own market.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah. Very few products are invented to fill a gap in the market.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll give you a classic example from my own experience. The first video phone became commercially viable and available in 1961.
Wow.
Yeah.
Who knew?
Yeah.
You did.
Shut up.
Because he was the only one born at that time.
Yeah.
I didn't mean it that way.
I was six.
I genuinely actually just meant it. dig my hole.
The fact is that everybody could see how a video phone would be really good. But it was invented and commercially available in 1961, and no matter who entered that market, they couldn't sell video phones.
Wow.
They just couldn't. They just, people wouldn't buy them. They just would not buy them. You know, one or two people would buy them. It just never took off. It never took off. It never took off. It never took off. And then fast forward to the 2000s, and people started producing smartphones. And then one day somebody said, oh, there's FaceTime on there. And all of a sudden, Skype and Zoom and everybody in the market, and now everybody video phones each other.
Mm.
Yeah. It was a pure accident. And so no amount of there being demand for something means that the product will sell.
Well, it just comes back to that one thing, doesn't it?
Mm.
It's all about that. Timing.
Okay. Yeah, exactly. Well,
see what I did there?
Yeah, I mean, they invented it, and then 50 years later, it became something people needed. And I don't mean that sarcastically. I mean... Mm. Back then, no one could really get why they wanted it.
Well, actually, it did.
I'll tell you something, because I was, just to make Sash feel better about this, I actually was there at the time. It's interesting, because I was reading a book the other day. It doesn't matter. The book was rubbish, it turned out, and I only read half of it because it was just nonsense. But a guy was talking about Steve Jobs again.
Mm-hmm.
And about Apple, and about how he and Wozniak invented Apple computers and why it was da-da-da. And he was just plain wrong. The guy in the book was just plain wrong. He just did not understand what happened at the time. The reason that Apple was successful had nothing to do with Apple whatsoever. What happened was there were a number of people knocking out microcomputers at the time, and most of them were hobbyist stuff. Yeah, you know, there's just people that were building their own computers and then playing silly things and writing silly programs that play Pong or whatever. The thing that turned Apple into a global success was a killer app that had nothing to do with Apple. A chap invented a thing called VisiCalc. And VisiCalc was the world's first spreadsheet.
Yeah.
Wow.
And he happened to own an Apple II computer, so he developed it on an Apple II computer and started flogging VisiCalc. And that's what became known as a killer app, because everybody wanted the spreadsheet. The fact that it ran on an Apple meant he had to buy an Apple computer to run VisiCalc until he made it available, you know, on an IBM PC. So it was actually somebody inventing something else that made Apple take off as a device.
Wow.
And that wouldn't have been in the business plan, would it?
No.
No,
let's invent a sexy computer and then we'll get somebody else to invent an application program that makes it viable.
Exactly, and that's why business has to be fluid. You've got to keep thinking about what you're doing and change and adapt.
Mm. Absolutely.
So back to putting all those ideas down on a piece of paper and just being a sounding board.
So it's an interesting wide-ranging discussion there about different things, but I think the story... or the takeaway from it is, do your research, do your due diligence, look at things, know your numbers, keep an eye on what's doing and what's happening and how it's going, but also believe in yourself and understand that it's a journey without a destination.
Yeah.
And adapt.
Yeah.
It's not straight. It's not linear. It's not going up.
It's zigzag, tick and tack.
It's also about adapt, but don't blame.
Yeah.
Yes, full don't responsibility.
Blame. If you run a business, it's your business to run. Now, surround yourself, ask for help, but don't blame.
Yes, can love I that, responsibility.
Can I add a little point as well? That listening to you guys, it's like tick, tick, tick. Okay, yeah, this all makes sense. But also, if business owners aren't having a structure for their well-being and their time to actually play, you've got to bring, like, everyone's got a big kid. So it's bringing out that big kid within you. For an hour, could be doing something funny. I've got a client at the moment who is a CEO for a company, and he's using a trampoline. He wanted to be a trampolinist. He was a kid. He didn't know any otherwise. He just wanted to be the big kid. So he's actually, he gave me his credit card, and I did. I got him a trampoline for the office, and he uses it just before he goes into meetings because he just feels alive again.
As you would.
As you do. Would. It's cool. So quirky and out there, but really, it's like, think outside the box. Be alive. Have fun with what you're doing. And if it's not fun, take a step back and actually think about, is it worth it? Is it something you believe in?
Absolutely. And that brings us to the end of another show.
Wow.
I want to say a big thank you to today's show sponsor, who are My Career Options. Do check them out. As Bird read earlier, they've got some special offers on over Christmas for helping your young people decide on their career. So a massive thank you to My Career Options.
And you need to put in B Bunker50.
Yep.
That's the coupon.
That 50% gets you a discount. Yeah. I want to say a huge well done to the winners of the Ashford Business Awards and to my two studio guests, the lovely Natasha Sutton, the mental elf.
All right.
Yay. And to our regular guest and contributor and all-round good guy, the lovely Nettie Bunn.
Good guy. Thank you, guys.
That's all right.
Lovely to be here.
Good guy.
Have you quite finished?
I haven't said a word.
Okay. And my co-host, Sarah Ann Lucas, Bird on a Bike. Just to let you know that this Friday on the Business Bunker Extra Show, Amanda is joined by her co-host, Richard Bell, and their guest this week is Sue Hainsby from Carlene Lettings.
Cool.
So do tune in for that, 11 o'clock on Friday, the Business Bunker Extra Show. But thank you for listening to another Business Bunker show. We'll be back with you next week with another show. In the meantime, have a fabulous week, and we'll see you all soon. Bye for now.
Ho, ho, ho.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews. Channel 2 Talk.